Babamla gerdence dolandırışına inancından sonra uyanacak sürdüm Maritan dinle. As the Kartik moon is waning, approaching Kartik Purnim, in the conclusion of this most special month, it's time to start considering and reflecting both what we've experienced during this month, as well as some of the things, events, that didn't receive proper recognition. I'd like to speak about one event which may not seem very significant until we delve deeply into the significance of the matter. And that is the reoccurrence of New Vrindavan's first plow, which means ISKCON's first plow, in ISKCON's first plow department, which also means ISKCON's first cow. In ISKCON's first cowherd boys. And this plow, by which we used to cultivate this land, and it's a hillside plow, because we used to farm the very steep slopes, which people think are unfarmable. But we did farm them. Back in a time when we were so grateful for what we had, which was quite little in comparison to what we've been talking today. So worldwide, plowing is considered to be related to a sacred activity. And the plow itself is a sacrament, which renders the earth fruitful. A sacrament testifying to the presence and the influence of the transcendental male, intercessor between heaven and earth. You can say that means Guru Tattva, that means follow on with Nityananda. And that divine intercessor impregnates the virgin soil, which means the womb or the heart of the earth, impregnates with celestial potency. Hence the appearance of Srimati Sita Devi, whose name means furrow, because that's where she appeared. As to Srimati Radharani, in a version not so well known, but what Srila Prabhupada chose to tell on the last night, King Vrishivani was plowing. And in the furrow. And King Vrishivani and Kirtidev were very elderly, as were Nanda Maharaj at this point, beyond childbearing age. And by the sacred activity of plowing, you see the daughter. Just as Krishna usually goes by the name Jashodanandan, more than Nandanandan. Should not be Radharani. Cherishes the name Vrishabhanandani more than Kirtanandani, because just as Mother Jashoda had more affection for Krishna than Nanda Maharaj did, King Vrishabhanu had more affection for Radha than Kirtida did. Kirtida had more affection for Sri Dhamma, her son. King Vrishabhanu had more affection for his daughter. And as Krishna would run first to the lap of Mother Jashoda, and then he'd go to Nanda Maharaj, going back to Jashoda, Radha would go first to the lap of King Vrishabhanu, and then Kirtida, and then back to her father. So, born in the furrow was a suitable bride to Lord Ram. And that indicates that beyond the agricultural, beyond the blessings of the agricultural harvest, follows the bounty of blessings in the form of spiritual treasures which never perish. The sequence of events initiated by cutting the furrow with a plow, which is a symbol, and the implement of Lord Balaram, emblem of kingly virtue, and lordship over the earth. First event in the sequence is clearing the land. When the field is overgrown, the plow, it turns under that undesirable overgrowth, where it's recycled into nutrients for the new crop. And as the undesirable weeds and overgrowth is turned under, all kinds of wonderful things turn up from down below. I used to have one box from my father's side and one from my mother's side, which my ancestors collected from the furrow. Artifacts from Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Civil War, which was of no interest to me, as much as the various Indian artifacts, the arrowheads, the hatchet heads, some very crude, just for practical purposes, others highly refined. Obviously, different eras, different tribes. So what is the significance? We're not really interested in arrowheads. We're interested in what comes up from the subconscious. It comes into the light of day. What roots are turned up as the weeds are turned down, and how the plow is instrumental in anarchanavithi. So first step is cutting the furrow to make a place for the seed. Opening the furrow means making a space for beginning and end to meet in the present, indicative of the living word, the holy name, which is the seed of every aspect of bhakti. The plow, implement of Baladev, also expands, even Western theologians acknowledge this, expands as the pen in the hand of the Acharya, which cultivates the blank feet, the blank page like the fallow field, drawing out lines parallel to the furrows, softening as the plow softens the earth to make her fertile and receptive to the seed. The lines of the Acharyas soften the collective consciousness of the earth to receive divine inspiration living within the written word, who then expands further to the purports and illuminations which express the Acharya's ecstasies. That's the fruit. That's the harvest. So consistent with our urge of Vrata, which is approaching conclusion, in Kartik Mas, Kartik mood, the words of the apostle Luke, who is a parallel to Mararigupta. Mararigupta has a very unique writing style, as does Luke. And the reason is because they were both physicians. They were healers. They were very familiar with the human condition and very gentle in their dealings. So Luke says, and this is appropriate for Kartik, put your hand to the plow and don't turn back. Meaning, once you take to this process of cultivating the heart, don't get distracted. And that's really the heart of Kartik's message. Mother Yashoda was distracted as the milk boiling over. And Damodar made it very clear that he does not want his servants to be distracted in their service. Indra was distracted by something else, false pride. So, how appropriate it is that the first major event in the preaching mission of Lord Nityananda was Sri Vyas Puja. He arrived in Navadvip Dham just before Vyas Puja. To emphasize something very essential in our devotional lives. That is the role of Sri Vyas. The power of Godhead intervenes at crucial stages in human history to rearrange and edit the Shastra and present the eternal truth in new dress. That's true about this quote. In his Vyasa Puja offering, glorifying Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's ability to present the eternal truth in new dress, suitable to the comprehension of man at various times, cultures, conditions. And the spiritual writers are well aware that their offerings derive truth and potency through the grace of Sri Guru, who is the spiritual successor to Sri Vyasadeva. And disciplic succession means the unbroken chain of living communion with Sri Vyas, who writes either directly or vicariously, writes and communicates. Sometimes directly, sometimes vicariously, through his agents. So how appropriate that the first major event in the ministry of Lord Nityananda after arriving in Navadvip Dham, before which he was concealing his nature, was Sri Vyasa Puja. Because Lord Nityananda embodies Buddha Tattva, the power And his agents yield to that potency. There's a common misconception which has prevailed since Tathagata's time, much more so after his time, amongst his pseudo followers, that since Lord Chaitanya distributed his teachings and mercy so indiscriminately, not considering who's qualified, who's not, who's high, who's low, who's good, who's bad. Therefore, there's no need to strictly follow the Shastra or submit to Guru. And that misconception continues to this day amongst some unfortunate souls. And to rectify this misconception, first thing Lord Chaitanya orders Nitai to do is to worship Śrīla Vyāsadeva and follow the Shastra in submission to Guru. So, Lord Chaitanya told Nitai that tomorrow's Śrīla Vyāsadeva is just alright, we love you. Tomorrow is Śrī Vyāsa Puja. At whose house would you like to honor the event? And Lord Nityananda, who had been wandering for so many years as an avidut, he took the hand of Śrī Vyāsa Thakura, who he adopted as his father, and mom as his mother. He said, I will celebrate Vyasa Puja at his house, and Mahaprabhu was ecstatic. And Srivas Thakur, who was not in the news, one of the first acharyas in the line, Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Srivas Thakur was the priest to direct the function in a very different manner. So Srivas Thakur is holding the garland. He gives it to Lord Nityananda before a picture of Śrīla Vyāsadeva. And Srivas Thakur instructs Lord Nityananda, worship Śrīla Vyāsadeva. And Nitai said, yes, it is so. And he just stood there. Srivas Thakur repeated, offer the garland to Srila Vyasadeva. Nitai said, yes, it is so. And he just stood there. Srivas Thakur tried a third time. Yes, 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 it is so. And he just stood there. So Srivas Thakur told Mahaprabhu that Prabhupada first refuses to worship Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Mahaprabhu went before Lord Nityananda and told him, worship Vyāsadeva. He said, yes, 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 and he placed the garland on Mahaprabhu instead of Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Because Lord Nityananda worships Mahaprabhu, who enacts the Leela of serving Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And as Balaram has no access to the service of Radha, that sacrament was fulfilled through the worship of Lord Gauranga. And there is no other way to enter than Das Thakur sings, and Srila Prabhupada comments that there's no other way to enter the eternal dance of Radha and Krishna but by the grace of Lord Nityananda. divine sound is identical with the Absolute Personality. And empiric study ignores empiric study of Shastra, which is actually a contradiction in terms. But the attempt by the ascending process to understand Shastra ignores the scripture's spirit and symbolic character. And the sacraments encrypted in the Shastra, whereby they are protected from the empiric assault offered by the clutches of the deluding potency, who exerts her sinister influence through the pedantic tendencies of man, which means dogmatic, the body of doctrines, beliefs, collectively believed and assertively even aggressively proclaimed, formally and institutionally accepted without sufficient authoritative scriptural reference. Actually, we have to back up a little bit to the Adivas ceremony. When the devotees assembled at Sri Vasanga, the gate was closed and locked, and only the brotherhood of faithful to the holy name were granted entrance. The kirtan commenced, and the two brothers, Nitai and Gaur, danced in the ecstasy of mutual communion. Now, who amongst the Panchatattva is not present at this Adivas, or at the Vyasa Puja the next day? Going entire dancing together, Srivas and Gadadhar Pandit are there. So with an intention to manifest the true nature of Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga, you know, he's usually in the mood of the devotee, but sometimes he enters the mood of Ishvara. Sometimes he's in the mood of Radha, sometimes in the mood of Krishna. These moods are ever changing, but at this time, at the Adivas ceremony, with the desire to manifest the inner nature of Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga climbed up on the altar, moved the Shalagram Shila aside, and sat on his throne. He was obviously not in his normal devotional mood, which became more evident in the sequence of events to follow. Sitting on the throne of Lord Vishnu, Lord Gauranga, the most perfect Acharya and Brahman, began demanding, "Give me wine." And the devotees looked at each other. What is the meaning of this? And he demanded, "Give me wine." The devotees were at a loss. And when he demanded again, "Give me wine," Srivas Thakur understood. He gave him Ganges water. He drank it, was pacified. Then he began demanding, "Give me my plow." And then Lord Nityananda handed over his plow to Lord Gauranga. Seeing to those who were fortunate because of good sadhana, others simply saw there was some significant exchange, although it appeared to be empty-handed. And language in this world is incapable of describing the internal experience, which is comprehensible only to those who are favored by grace. as revealed by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is Srila Vyasadeva in Chaitanya Lila. So as soon as Lord Nityananda handed over his plow, Lord Govinda wanted to honor that one personality, the Panchatattva, who was absent from the Asian. And that he did also in a disposed manner, which no one understood. He began calling out in a resonant voice, Nara, 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 Nara. And the boys were looking around. Who's that? Lord Chaitanya himself had to reveal, Nara is a nickname for Sri Vaitacharya. So Lord Gauranga said, in response to the question, who's this Nara you're calling? Mahaprabhu said, he whose invocation brought me here to earth, he who is now aloof with Haridas Thakur. And then, thinking for his servant, Sri Vaitacharya, Lord Gauranga revealed his own purpose, inspired by the thought of the Vaitacharya. Mahaprabhu said, I appear with the sound of kirtan, and I will preach the holy name to every household, withholding my grace only from those who are proud of their high lineage, learning, or their austerities. I will give to the rest of the world the treasure of loving devotion, which is coveted by the highest devas, Brahma, Shiva. And hearing this statement, that Lord Gauranga would distribute his grace indiscriminately to all the world, Lord Nityananda was too excited. He broke his danda and his kamandalu. He lost all his clothes, and in perfect childhood innocence, he jumped in the Ganges to play with the crocodile he saw. So he's swimming after the crocodile. This is not the only time. He could not refrain from chasing the crocodiles to play with them. And this was very alarming to the devotees. And they were calling, come back, come back. And he would just laugh. And he's chasing after his crocodile to play with them. And then once again, the devotees told Mahaprabhu, he won't listen to anybody but you. And Mahaprabhu roared out, come, Nityananda, we have to perform Vyasa Puja. In Mahaprabhu's words, it's like what is a goat is to an elephant. That was the only thing that could control him. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the Vyasadeva Chaitanya Lila, who's describing this in his Chaitanya Bhagavad, refers to Lord Chaitanya as the master of my Lord Nityananda, which is significant. Because the Veda is the body of wisdom and instruction presented for the guidance of lost souls. And thus it's identical with the function of Guru, who offers the connection between the Lord and Jesus. So that's the Adivas. So coming back to Sri Vyasa Puja, as soon as Lord Nityananda placed that garland around the neck of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu revealed his six-armed form, holding conch, club, disc, lotus, plow, and club. And in that way, he displayed the relationship between Balaram and Sri Vishnu. The emblems of Balaram joined with the symbols of Vishnu furthermore display the relationship between Guru, who appears before us, and a Paramatma who resides within us, establishing the relationship between the inner and outer guide in conjunction with Shastra. That Sadhguru form also reveals the relationship between thus, in the Vyasa Puja ceremony, the benediction proclaimed by Lord Nityananda previously during his pilgrimage, long pilgrimage, during when he was wandering through the streets of Hastinapura, learning out something that no one could understand. May the holder of the plow deliver us all. No one could understand what or why he kept saying. And that blessing in disguise was fulfilled in Vyasa Puja, the first majorly significant preaching event in the ministry of Lord Nityananda, which revealed to this world sacramental nature of Balaram's plow. So this Kartik we are celebrating the reappearance of Vrindavan's very first plow. First plow in all of this country. In the first plow department. With the first cow. And the first cowherd boys in this movement. That plow has reappeared after decades of that's significant because, as Isaiah says, beat your swords into plowshares as an emblem of peace. Conversely, scrapping a plow to make weapons portends upcoming conflict. So from the scrap pile, is going to be melted down to make who knows what. The pieces of the plow have been reassembled. Yeah, great intrigue. things to play with. And crocodiles were just a very appealing plaything for that. Furthermore, Lord Nityananda, until the time he married, was avidut. And it's actually important that there be avidutas in this world. Because they offer a balance to those who are prone to become too focused on rules and regulations, caste distinctions, by their utter disregard for any kind of bodily designation. And their obvious love for Krishna, which puts them above and beyond the need for rules and regulations. And that was very important, because Lord Chaitanya is a very strict Brahmin. Not very significant that you could cut them into pieces. If they could reveal ecstatic love for Krishna and inspire devotees in their service to Krishna, then your name, Patita Pavana, will be appropriate. So as long as Jagai and Madhai are roaming the streets of Nadi, I will not go anywhere else for my preaching. And then hearing that, Advaitacharya became more ecstatic, at which times he would roar like a lion. And he said, "Oh brothers, you will see in no time, in our kirtan, Jagai and Madhai will be dancing amongst us." And all the devotees chanted in great ecstasy, "Jai Jai Mahaprabhu Ki Jai." That Jagai Mahadev would not have been delivered by Lord Gauranga without the divine intercession of Lord Nityananda. And what does this have to do with us here today? The mercy of Lord Nityananda we saw so markedly tangible in this divine grace. See Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From high class Brahmin, Gaudiya, Vaishnava family. And one of his godbrothers said something wonderful. It was meant to be critical. The Saraswati made glorification of it. This devotee said, "I could have done what Srila Prabhupada did, but I didn't have a mind to preach to the hippies." That's caste consciousness. And it also indicates that it takes empowerment for a pure Gaudiya Vaishnava chariot to touch the hearts of hippies. That empowerment is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Which was so evident in Srila Prabhupada. And that's why this plow is so significant. Srila Prabhupada said,
agriculture and cow protection should be the main business of New Vrindavan. Above and beyond that, loving Krishna. Plow represents something that seems to have been forgotten. The cows come in two genders. The bull, or if he chooses, to sacrifice his procreative potential to become more docile for agricultural purposes. He's called an ox after he's trained, before which he is a steer. The ox is represented by the plow. The cow is represented, in a sense, by the flute in the hands of Sri Krishna. He plays the flute to attract the cows. The cows who have gone astray, seeking greener grasses on the other side of the fence. And that means us, the lost souls, who are drawn back to Krishna by the sound of his flute, which initiated Brahma, who then spoke the Vedas and came down in specific succession. So the flute is related to the cow. The plow related to the ox. The mother and father, who also represent the earth, earth and Dharma. And that plow has been effective in softening our hearts. By the way, its expansion as the pen in the hand of Srila Prabhupada has been empowered to preach to hippies, not only hippies, but to touch the hearts of all the world. That's the potency and grace of Lord Nityananda coming through his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj, have you seen this picture behind your desk up there?
Oh.
Could you speak a little bit about that?
Well, speaking of the first cow, there she is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The devotees living in Old Vrindavan at this time in 1976 were cherishing the thought that Srila Prabhupada would come back to the Vrindavan farm. But our authorities told them that the road's just too impossible, you can't go there. So then His Holiness Srila Raghunath Swami considered that if we can't bring Srila Prabhupada to see Sri Sri Radha Vrindavanath, then they'll come to see him. So Maharaj brought a beautiful picture of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavanath, who were living at Old Vrindavan at the time, and placed it before Srila Prabhupada, and he's looking very intently. And he asked, "Where are they?" He was informed, "They're at the Old Vrindavan farm." "Can we go there?" And our authority said, "No, no, you can't go there. The road's too impossible." He said, "We're going there." So, yeah. So the Yogacara road at that time was completely impossible. But if we asked Mr. Schneider, we could drive over his land on the ridge, which is like a super highway compared to the Yogacara. Driving through the pastures was like a super highway compared to the Yogacara road. So he drove Srila Prabhupada through the pasture. And then when he reached the boundary with Old Vrindavan, he said, "Stop, we're going to walk from here." So he came down the ridge and walked up the Yogacara road. And when he entered into Old Vrindavan's pasturing ground, Kalia, who was grazing with the other cows, she left the herd and ran to the Parikrama path that Srila Prabhupada was following to Old Vrindavan, and she led the Parikrama party. Srila Prabhupada is following in the footsteps of Kalia. And when he was asked, "Do you remember Kalia?" He said, "Of course I remember her. She's my old friend. I named her. I drank her milk." So, that's Kalia. This comes first cow who came at the same time as ISKCON's first plow and ISKCON's first cowherd boy who began the plow department in which Gaurashakti Prabhu served. He taught me that if you have a oxyacetylene torch and a welder, you don't need the old forge to make horseshoes and other implements. We had our own forge, you know, we made our own horseshoes and steel implements and everything. And to serve in the plow department is considered very special. Krishna says, "I'm the original fragrance of the earth." What does he mean by that? When Mother Yashoda is bathing Lord Damodar, not so much Damodar, but when he grew up a little bit as Gopal, when he's out in the forest, you know, through the gifts and arrangements of the Gopas and the Vandevis and the Gopis, he comes back to the palace in the evening fragrant with all these scents that he picked up in the forest. And then when Mother Yashoda bathes him, that Charanamrita, you know, descending down his threefold bending form and across his lotus feet, it picks up all those fragrances and soaks them into the earth, who then takes them and recycles them into the various fragrance of all plants and vegetation worldwide. And similarly, when Srimati Radharani is bathed by her mantras, that water is picking up the female fragrances absorbed by the earth, giving her that fragrance Krishna refers to, "I am the pure and original scent of the earth." And when you're plowing, and that fragrance comes from the furrow, it's like Bhagavad Gita opening right before you. And it was very significant to us that before joining Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's mission, which he did with his first meeting with his Guru Maharaj, he said, "I accepted him then and there in my heart." Before that, he was a follower of Gandhi, promoting the village movement, agriculture and cows and independence. And he actually, kind of in a mild way, challenged his Guru Maharaj, who, before getting up from offering his obeisances, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told him and his friend, Naren, "You're educated young men, knowing English, you should preach in the Western world." And Srila Prabhupada offered it was a reasonable challenge, which anybody in India would have said at that time. "We're slaves to the British. Let us first acquire independence, Swaraj, and then preach." And it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's response that convinced Srila Prabhupada that he's my Guru Maharaj. That the message of Mahaprabhu is in good hands. He responded, "Whose ruling is, I'm paraphrasing, practically irrelevant. Krishna consciousness is the only thing needed in this world. It's too urgent and it cannot wait." Those few words convinced Srila Prabhupada that here is a true representative of Lord Chaitanya. And he surrendered his heart to him at that time. So, in 1968, when Srila Prabhupada heard the possibility of acquiring land in Appalachia, he immediately mentally moved in and gave his instructions. Live by agriculture, cow protection, dependent on nature's gifts and bounty. Create a replica of Vrindavan, which is the ultimate agricultural model. And he mentioned with Govardhan Hill, Shamakund, Radhakund, and the temples of the six Goswamis. And immediately, upon hearing just the vague possibility of land here, he gave those instructions. So you could say, well, that, you know, appears to be the influence of Gandhi in the village movement with, you know, cows, agriculture. It goes back beyond that. Srila Prabhupada brought that inspiration from the spiritual world, but he didn't reveal it until he heard the possibility for, and it was a far-fetched possibility if you would have known Mr. Rose and the likelihood would have been that Srila Prabhupada. He immediately moved in, gave his instructions, his primary mandates, with emphasis on the practical level, cow protection and agriculture, in Balaram's plow, and on the deeper level, the very emblem of self-sufficiency, Govardhan, with as the threshold, Radhakund, Shamakund, and the temples of the six Goswamis, whose deities embody the three cardinal truths of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, Sambandha, Avideya, Prayojana, as do their acharyas, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Sambandha, relationship. Ultimately with everything and everyone, with Krishna at the center. Sambandha, Avideya, taking up the process of devotional service to express that relationship. And Prayojana, Radha Gopinath, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and the bank of Radhakunda, the perfection of falling in love with Krishna. Anything else?
So you said that you take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu. So, like, what attitude, what mood we should
take shelter of
Nityananda Prabhu? So, what attitude and what mood?
He made that really clear by contrast in the life of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was having 24-hour kirtan at his house with Gunanava Misha offering the artik. And into the assembly came an avadut, Niketana Ramdas, and everyone bowed down because they knew that his avadut nature is a facsimile of his Lord, Nityananda. So everyone bowed down, respecting him as the representative of Lord Nityananda. Except Kunanava Mishra, who was thinking, I'm a Brahmin, I'm offering artik, I'm not going to offer respects to the Savadut. Because he was the embodiment of that tendency that people would revere Lord Gauranga and run at the sound of the name of Lord Nityananda. Because he couldn't relate to his avadut activities. He was just so intoxicated with love of God, he was oblivious to this world most of the time. Only Lord Chaitanya's instructions and voice could keep him subdued and controlled. And later on, Janakadev, who was an Angamanjari, Balaram's internal potency, when he married, he gave up his avadut status, largely because that unrestricted grace flowed largely through his consort in her preaching mission. So he didn't have to act as avadut anymore. And when he left this world, Janavadevi continued, guided by visions of Lord Nityananda, directing him. So we respect, honor, worship Lord Nityananda by serving the servants of his servants. Because Gunanava Mishra disrespected Lord Nityananda's dear servant, he fell down. Which means he lost all interest in spiritual life, lost all taste, because he disrespected the servant of Lord Nityananda. Conversely, honoring the servants of Lord Nityananda is the key to Mahaprabhu's heart. And the festival which honors and celebrates that principle is Panihati Mahotsava. Raghunath Das Goswami he was the only heir to a multi-million-dollar fortune, with a wife more beautiful than an angel, a father who had teams of detectives who would find him out every time he tried to run away from home, and bring him back. He's acting like a madman. So his mother asked her father, why didn't you just chain him up? And he said, his historic reply, he's got a wife more beautiful than angel. Riches like Indra. If these things can't bind him, what's a chain gonna do? He's become a madman for Lord Chaitanya, and nothing can stop him from following the love of his heart to the Lord's lotus feet. Nevertheless, he kept running away, and even he would have Mahaprabhu's darshan at different times, but there was nothing but impediments in his devotional life. And that became clear when he approached Mahaprabhu at Panihati, and he was bowing down from a long distance, and Mahaprabhu said, Raghunath, you're a thief. What does that mean? Trying to steal someone else's treasure. Lord Chaitanya is the treasure of Lord Nityananda's heart. But we can't approach Lord Nityananda directly any more than we can Radha and Krishna. It's only through service to the devotees of the servants that we can find, that we can have a place in the Lord's loving heart. So we honor Lord Nityananda by serving the devotees of his servants. Anything else?
What's the difference between Lord Nityananda and Balaram Maharaj?
The difference is that Balaram can only grant love for Krishna. He has no access to the service of Srimati Radharani, and that is the whole message of this famous puja. Balaram has no access to the service of Radha Krishna. And that's why he did not worship Srila Vyasadeva. He insisted on worshiping Lord Chaitanya. Because only through Lord Chaitanya do we have access to the service of Sri Srila Radha and Krishna. Yeah, Lord Balaram's only access to the service of Srimati Radharani is in serving Lord Chaitanya as Nityananda. And that's why Narottam Das Thakur sings. And Srila Prabhupada comments, there's no other way to enter the Rasa Lila but by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Balaram cannot grant that blessing. He has no access to the service of Srimati Radharani, the highest Gaudiya sacrament. He does have access in the form of Lord Nityananda. And that's the message of Vyasa Puja, just after his arrival in Abhidhita. And that's the significance of the Sambhuja form. Not the Sambhuja form, in and of itself, in his exchange with Lord Nityananda, and the exchange of the cloud.
So, you said that Lord Nityananda is the embodiment of the Guru Tattva.
Yes.
So then, so Lord Balaram also is there.
Lord Balaram is the embodiment of Guru Tattva, but he can only offer service to Krishna.
I see.
So, what are we celebrating? Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami's song. Hare Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. Concluding with Sanata Sanatana Vanita Charite. Why is he mentioning the book of monks? Because they were brahmacharis, very young. 5 years old and pure, and they wouldn't get any older than 5 years old. At the dawn of creation in the Satyuga, exclusive devotees of Lord Narayan, until they heard Srimati Radharani Sasta Kalya Lila as sung by Lord Shankar, and then they hankered to serve those pastimes awakening in their hearts. And therefore, and you see it in the dialogue between the four Kumaras and Nimbarkacharya, who is born tomorrow, appears tomorrow, Nimbarkacharya, who, amongst the four Foundracharyas, from whom Mahaprabhu took two sacraments from each, from Nimbarkacharya, is the necessity of following the footsteps of the Gopis. And the exalted service of Srimati Radharani. Mahaprabhu took those sacraments from the Mudra Sampradaya, because there was no such thing in the Mudra Sampradaya in whom his Mahaprabhu took initiation. So, when Nimbarkacharya was worshipping Lord Shiva, to his pleasure sent him to the four Kumaras, and they revealed to Nimbarkacharya that
for the inspired, with emphasizing the necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani and the exalted status of the Gopi service. And that, that was the emphasis of the Bhattacharya's teachings. And Bhattacharya appears wrong. That's what I mean. Balaram has no access to that realm. Lord Nityananda has the only few to it. That's why we say there is no entrance to worship of Radha Krishna except through Gopi time. Anything else? What's next?
First we will do maybe a family photo. What about having a family photo? And then we have something else.